All my life, I had one dream, and that was to be in the movies. Maybe it was because I had a pretty rough childhood, or because I was always more than a little insecure. But as a kid, I longed to see myself 10 feet tall on the big screen. Through no fault of my teachers, I received almost no formal education. But after 3 years in the Navy during World War II, the GI Bill allowed me to go to acting school on the government's nickel. I may not have had much schooling, but it turned out I had a gift for acting. When I walked out on that stage, it felt like a hand in a velvet glove. I wasn't scared. I wasn't nervous. I just loved being the center of attention, just like I'd always known I would. I performed in summer stock, and I acted in Clifford Odets' play Golden Boy exactly twice over a single weekend. But before I knew it, I had been summoned to meet a studio executive at Universal Studios. It was the spring of 1948. I was excited, but I wasn't surprised. Going to Hollywood had been my life's plan since I could remember, and I was too naive to know it almost never works out that way. I got myself out to New York's Idlewild Airport, now JFK, and boarded a TWA Super Constellation, a four-engine prop plane bound for Los Angeles. I had never been on a Super Constellation before, but I knew all about it from movies and magazines. I sat in coach. In those days, the sections weren't partitioned, so I could see into first class, where a man with a mustache and wearing a herringbone suit was being tended to by a personal assistant. The guy in the suit would whisper something to the other man, who would jump up and do his bidding. To my surprise, after we took off, the assistant came over to me. "Could you join my friend in first class?" he asked. "Sure," I said. I got up and walked forward to Herringbone's suit. I had no idea who he was, but he was cordial and expressed interest in why I was going to L.A. "I'm going to be an actor." "I figured you might be," he said. "I've got a meeting at Universal." "Do you know anything about the other studios?" he asked. I had heard the same Hollywood gossip as everyone else, but I'd paid special attention to it, knowing that this was where I would work one day. So I said, "Warner Brothers is a tough studio to work for. 20th Century Fox makes action pictures. At MGM, you have to sing and dance a little bit. RKO wants actors who are stable, and Universal wants young people. So that's where I'm going." We talked for a few moments, and then I went back to my seat and fell asleep. After we landed, I went to pick up my luggage, and there was Herringbone's suit. "Can I offer you a ride?" he asked. "That would be great, thanks. I'm staying at the Hollywood Knickerbocker Hotel." "My driver will take me home first, then he'll be happy to drop you off at your hotel," he said. We drove through the winding streets of Beverly Hills before finally pulling up to a big metal gate. Barely visible through the trees and groomed shrubbery was a tasteful mansion. My benefactor's bags were unloaded, and he reached over and shook my hand. I said, "Well, it was a pleasure meeting you, and thanks for the ride. My name is Bernie Schwartz. What's yours?" "Jack Warner," he said. "Let me tell you something, kid. If Universal ever drops you, come see me. I'll change your name to Tyrone Goldfarb and make you a star all over the world." We both laughed. Warner got out, and his limo driver took me to the Hollywood Knickerbocker Hotel, where I slept like a baby. The next morning, I walked from the hotel to Highland Avenue, where a trolley took me into the San Fernando Valley, to Universal Studios. I walked under a bridge with the freeway overhead until I came to the Universal lot. I walked right up to the gate. Now it was starting to hit me. My whole life, I had dreamed of being an actor in a movie studio. And here I was about to walk through the entrance of Universal Pictures. The gatekeeper told me to go to a door marked Casting. I walked through it and up to a big gleaming desk. "I've been invited to come to the studio for a meeting," I said. A girl behind the desk said, "What's your name?" "Bernie Schwartz." Now I had my heart in my throat. I thought, suppose this is a big fucking joke? So I held my breath for the long moment before she said, "Yes, here you are on the list. Welcome to Universal Studios, Mr. Schwartz. You have an appointment this morning with Mr. Goldstein. To get to his office, turn right when you come out of the gate across from the barbershop. Go up the path, and you'll see his name on the door." I was amazed. Not only had she known my name, but she was sending me directly to the office of the man who ran things at Universal. I arrived at the studio's inner sanctum, where all the executives had bungalows interspersed with perfectly groomed lawns. I walked along the path to an office marked Goldstein, where a well-dressed woman looked me over coolly. "Mr. Schwartz?" "That's me," I said. "Just a moment, please." The door opened. Bob Goldstein was in town for a couple of days and was using his brother Leonard's office. Bob showed me my contract and said it would be good for 7 years with options renewable every 6 months, at the studio's discretion. Each time they renewed, I'd get a raise. My starting salary would be $75 a week. "I'll take it," I said. I picked up the pen to sign the last page, and he said, "Never sign anything until you read it." "There are a lot of pages," I said. "I don't give a shit," he said. "Sit down and read it. I'll be back in an hour." I flipped to the section that related to payment. If they were renewed, my six-month options would go from a starting salary of $75 a week up to $1,200 a week at the end of 7 years. Other than that, all I could make out was page after page of whereofs and wherefores. When Goldstein came back to his office, I was reading magazines, having spent all of 4 minutes scanning the contract. I signed on June 2, 1948, 1 day before my 23rd birthday. I was officially under contract. Bernie Schwartz was in the movies.